Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carry Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in on a Monday following the Jaguars' overtime loss to the Washington Redskins. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Cole Pepper here at Jaguar Central, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Vic and I are in our dueling Christmas-colored sweaters. He's got green, I've got red.
Plaid shirt, green sweater, tastefully done, would you not agree?
Yeah, tasteful, as always. And here as well with the general manager, Gene Smith. And if I can play a good news, bad news role for you. The bad news is the loss yesterday. The good news is based on what the Colts did, it didn't change at all what has to happen in the final week of the season in order for the Jaguars to make the playoffs.
Well, we're fortunate that we're still in the hunt, per se. We didn't do what we needed to do 2 weeks ago. So this is a position we're in, and we just got to take care of what we have control over, and that's getting a win in Houston.
You failed to mention how Joe is attired.
He doesn't look as Christmassy.
Is that something from the Kramer collection, Joe?
Gene, do I have to put up with this? Seriously. I mean,
he's wearing a gargantuan plaid. That's from the Kramer
collection.
This is
my Florida A&M Rattler attire, and I'm going to go with that. Thank you.
Well, lest we turn this into a show on entertainment television or something.
We're allowed to have fun, though, right? Because, I mean, I really don't want to turn this into what the rest of this day has been.
You've been getting hammered by the by the emails. Obviously, the team had a difficult day today reviewing film and so forth, and that you could tell the guys were not particularly pleased about having gone through that. But again, as mentioned, here we are. The situation is next week in Houston, win. And if the unlikely scenario plays out that Tennessee rallies and gets things going and wins in Indy, then the Jaguars would be AFC South champions at this point. But a lot of the conversation, a lot of the talk, of course, has been about what happened yesterday between the Jaguars and the Redskins. And, I guess we know, Gene, how valuable Maurice Jones-Drew can be to a team. Not having him in there, obviously there was the offense suffered.
Well, it suffered, but I'll say this. We've got other players that we can certainly win with. Every team has injuries throughout the season. The Redskins certainly had their share. They had five different starters on their defense yesterday, and we just didn't play well enough to win. It's very disappointing in a game that meant so much for us to play that way.
We just did our Monday press conference with Coach Del Rio. He was very forthcoming. I mean, I know I grilled him on the overtime plays. The kickoff return, botched return, the third and fourth place. And I want to go through it with you. I want to get your take. Coach Del Rio was very forthcoming with information on those plays. I want to get your take on that, especially the third and four. Because everyone is saying, well, he should have thrown it away. If you throw it away, certainly if you take a sack there, the sack would have been at the 5-yard line. They're getting the ball inside the 50. If you throw it away, they're getting the ball pretty close to the 50. As I see it, there's no bailout option there. You got to make this work. You got to move the sticks. Do you agree? I mean, throwing it away, I don't think we would have gotten a different result.
Well, the difficult thing in that situation for David was we got beat off the snap in the A gap.
Describe. You had mentioned this, and
well,
I want to
hear
what
you thought. Well, we got a defender that got penetration into the A gap was in his face when he was trying to deliver the ball. I mean, if he's able to deliver the ball, we got to play up the sideline.
A gap is right up the middle.
The defensive back undercut the route. It was a nice play, but David could not step into his throw and get that ball out there. And I know he's trying to make a play to help us win. He made some outstanding plays in the game. Here's a guy that had a hamstring the week before, played through it. He has an issue with his middle finger on his throwing hand. So the ball was coming out high some yesterday, in a wind situation for a quarterback. And I admire some of the things he did in that game. I know he didn't play well enough for us as a team to win, but there's a lot of other guys that didn't play well enough. And I know it does, in most cases, start with the quarterback because he's driving your vehicle. But he's not the only player that didn't play well. This is a team sport, and he made it some tremendous plays yesterday to keep us in that football game.
Did he have an option other than the throw he made for Mercedes Lewis? Was there another option? What were his options?
Well, I do think if he could get the ball out, that was a good option. It was unfortunate he wasn't able to. He tried to make a play, and the DB, like I said, undercut the route. It was a nice play on his part.
If he lofts the ball over the DB, is there a safety in the back who would have come
out? No, Mercedes Lewis was up the sideline for probably at least a 10 or 15-yard gain.
So he's got to touch it over the DB's head. That's instead of driving the ball in there, he's got to drop it in.
Well, I can't even say he was trying to drive it. He wasn't able to follow through on his throw. So, I mean, again, here's a player trying to make a play. It's unfortunate. It ended up being an interception that enabled them to kick the field goal. But, you know, he did make some plays in that game. He may not have made all the plays that we all want him to make, but there's a lot of other guys that didn't make a lot of plays either in that game. And I want people to know this is a team sport. We do have some guys out there competing very hard, and David was one of them.
I've got a question that I believe has to be asked, and I'm not trying to ambush you, but I think it's a big issue. What are you going to do about the criticism? David Garrard, he is under a massive amount of criticism right now. How can you, and I clearly get the impression that he's a guy you want to take forward. You want to take him into next year as you develop a young quarterback. How are you going to salvage David Garrard's career with this team, considering the rough treatment and that he's getting, from the media and the fans?
Well, going into last weekend's game, he was ninth in the NFL for passer rating. So he had done some good things up to that point. Again, football is a team sport. I know I'm trying to emphasize that to everyone because I truly believe that. It's one game, and certainly it's a difficult one because just like the week before, we had two opportunities to get wins, and we didn't close it out. And, I have to admire the toughness that he has played with. He has certainly given us the best option to win this year. He's got a lot of experience under his belt, and, that was a defining throw because in the end, that's what, again, gave him the opportunity to kick the field goal to win.
If you get a win this week in Houston, finish 9-7, 4-2 in the division, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Chris Johnson runs for 300 yards. Maybe the Colts have one of their infamous, sieve days, against the run. But if you were to get a win this week and you finish 9-7, what would it do for you? Is it going to give you enough in the off season on which to build, enough calm, enough peace, enough reaffirmation in your program of draft and develop? Is it going to be good enough?
Well, I think you got to evaluate the fourth quarter. That's what you got to evaluate.
The fourth quarter of the season?
Right.
Which is December.
You got the season broken up into four quarters.
Okay.
I look at the fourth quarter, and then we could talk postseason after that. I think that's what you got to evaluate. You don't try to evaluate just one game.
Okay, you got five games in December. I know it's not a quarter, but you got in the final month you have five games. If you win in Houston, you'll be 3-2. Okay, not good enough. What would be? I mean, clearly, if they don't win in Houston, then it's not good enough. But if you win in Houston, what would the evaluation be?
Let's win in Houston.
Okay.
I mean, we win in Houston. Certainly the Colts stumble against the Titans. We're in the playoffs, and who knows? You know, again, I try to look at the season in quarters. You like to see players and teams perform at a consistent level. We've had some ups and downs. We put together a string of games where we played very good football, and for whatever reason, the last 2 weeks, we certainly haven't done that. And I don't think it's all not having Maurice Jones-Drew. We got to be able to do more in putting ourselves in position to win games than what we've done the last 2 weeks. I mean, I make no excuses for that.
Do we have a show next Monday?
We do.
So we will be able to evaluate the fourth quarter next Monday.
That's right.
Okay, good.
All right, I want to thank folks from Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. They've been the great sponsor of our tailgate show, and also, of course, throughout the course of the year when the Jaguars have won home games, you've been able to get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub the following Monday or Tuesday. And hey, who knows? As Vic said, Chris Johnson goes off.
Never know.
Jaguars could have another chance to get one of those free barbecue pork sandwich Mondays. Back with more of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Best comments and questions will be asked of the GM right here on the air. Back with more right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
David's in the gun with Jennings and Mercedes Lewis. Redskins stacking the line of scrimmage, filling gaps. David, a quick draw. There he goes. David's at the 15-yard line. David makes a man. Misses at the 10. 5. David Garrard, touchdown, Jaguars! Great call and a beautiful run by Garrard.
That was the game-tying touchdown run by David Garrard yesterday. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Reminder to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Injury update now brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Only injury of note to come out of the game, Zach Miller with a concussion. He was wearing sunglasses today in the locker room and had yet to have the baseline test done. So we'll keep a close eye on that, of course. We know how concussions have been really in the spotlight so far this year. Mention you can join the conversation on facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And if you have a question or comment for the general manager, a chance to get that out there. And let's start first with Randy here, Gene, who says, I think the team has exceeded expectations this season. Del Rio's done a good job with getting experience for a bunch of younger players. With that being said, is the draft deep enough for us to get all we need this year to win the division in 2011?
Well, I think it's always dictated a lot by the underclassmen that end up declaring. You know, there is some positions that will be strong in the draft. So we'll wait to see how all that unfolds. You know, I do appreciate the fact that, you know, he did say we've exceeded maybe his expectations. I guess it depends what expectations you had for this football team coming into the season.
Certainly exceeded the national expectations that
that's
were on
correct.
The team.
Yeah. Because a lot of people weren't giving us any love early on, and then we started to get some affection as the season went on. I just want to see us finish this fourth quarter out the right way, and I'm confident we'll do that on the road.
And that was actually the message that the coach had for the team, and the team had a meeting, a players-only meeting kind of thing today that had the same kind of message. So everybody looking to try to, you know, not have the slide that they experienced last year with the Texans. By the way, that game has been flexed by the NFL, and so that means it's a 4:15 start. So we'll be on the air for everybody with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 1 o'clock and 4:15 kickoff. And interesting, you know, this past week we had some games that affected maybe some other games, and you wonder how much the Chiefs beating up on the Titans and clinching the AFC West impacted, if at all, the Raiders against the Colts. That won't be the case next week because both the Jaguars and Colts games have been flexed to 4:15.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing when you can be flexed at the end of the year. You have playoff implications that are doing that, so that's a plus for us. So hopefully, you know, we'll take care of business.
All right, with some other comments from folks on the Facebook. Jeremiah says, how do you feel Austin Lane has performed since entering the starting lineup?
You know, I think he's a guy that has really improved. I thought yesterday he played as good as any of our defensive linemen. When you take, you know, what we did against their run game, he was a big factor of us being able to slow him down.
Has he come as far as anybody in the course of the season?
I would say the young players, he has. He's effort-filled, and I think when you have that as a defensive lineman, it gives you a chance to be a good player. I really do.
What's next for you? In terms of building this football team, what's the next task?
Well, what we do, Vic, is we have a postseason roster evaluation at the conclusion of our final game. Mm-hmm. And that's where we look at all the quarters, like I talked about earlier, and we try to evaluate each player. You know, I get the coach's opinion, but the pro staff as well will have an opinion because we grade them throughout the year. And certainly the padded exposures are the most meaningful when we're evaluating talent. And all of our players will be graded. We'll talk about, you know, what players fit into our future, maybe what players don't, because we want to be very upfront and honest with players after we finish that meeting. And certainly Wayne is involved in that meeting. It's a very thorough process. It's an open process to where people can give their honest opinion on what they think of the player and how he's performed.
Why quarters? It kind of caught me by surprise there. Why are things evaluated on a quarterly basis?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. You know, with young players, they tend to get better. Sometimes mm-hmm. an older player might be on the decline. And we try to look at game by game, you know, in our grading, how players are doing, and then we look at it by quarters. It's kind of a quarterly report that I give, you know, Wayne and Jack. And then what we do is at the end of the year, we give them a final grade. What you don't want to do is you don't want to just give a final grade at the end of the year. Then you don't have a valid system in place of how they performed weekly and how they performed quarterly. So
looking at your draft class, certainly Austin Lane is having his best quarter.
Yeah, you could say for a player, if we were talking about him, his best quarters might have been his second and third quarter.
Okay.
Or his best quarter of the season, when you look at his grades, was his first quarter. And then you try to say to yourself, okay, why did he tail off? Mm-hmm. Was it an injury? Mm-hmm. You know, what was the reason? And then there's some players, their third and fourth quarter are their best quarters. And so one of the things that was impressive, talking about quarters, Brad Meester is having a very good fourth quarter of the season. So here's a player that some people may perceive as being old, and, you know, he's got the most starts in franchise history, but he's still playing at a winning level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he played as well as any offensive lineman yesterday, and we didn't do a lot right. We didn't ever get a running game established, but Brad had a winning effort.
Mm-hmm. You've been very complimentary of his play most of the year, in fact. And so to say that
he's been consistent,
yeah.
You know, and you kind of admire that in someone because that's not easy to do. You got to stay healthy. You got to practice consistently well so it'll transfer to the games. And he's done that.
Is there any easy answer for what appears to be a failure up front in the last two games?
Boy, that's a tough one.
On offense?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Vic, because we certainly haven't been able the last 2 weeks to establish a run game. And, you know, obviously 2 weeks ago we did have Maurice, and yesterday we did not. But it starts with creating creases for the running backs. And we really haven't been able to do that at the level we did earlier in the season. That's probably one of the most disappointing things to me, because obviously your run game starts up front, and your ability to throw the ball in terms of protecting your quarterback starts up front. And so this quarter hasn't been quite as good there.
All right, more with the general manager here in just a bit. I want to remind you, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutteth. If you have a comment or question, you can post it on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Best ones will be asked here on the air. News here at the bottom of the hour. Back with more of the program right after this, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Four receivers, three left. Terrain in the backfield. Grossman drops to throw. Plenty of time. Turns and looks for Moss, and this one will be intercepted! Derek Cox got it. He stepped right in front of him and made it his fourth interception of the year.
One of the plays by the defense yesterday, a defense that gave up only one sustained drive in the Jaguars' 20-17 overtime loss to the Washington Redskins. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutteth. And a sad occurrence recently for a member of the Jaguars family. We mentioned it yesterday on the tailgate show. Joshua Fraze, the 15-year-old son of Paul Fraze, passed away. Myotubular myopathy, something he'd been dealing with for a long, long time. And, boy, your heart just goes out to what that family has gone through, Gene.
It really does. Paul and Allison and Isabella, you know, the entire Jaguar family certainly sends our sincere sympathy. You know, I did have an opportunity to talk to Paul on my way home last night, and it certainly put things in perspective. I admire how their family really made the commitment to Josh through all those years, all those trying times. I mean, true love. And all the best to the Fraze family.
All right, let's move back to football. And we heard the interception from Derek Cox and a comment from one of the Facebook users. Heather says, eight interceptions later, looks like he got good value for the second-round pick you traded for Derek Cox. What do you think of his development so far?
Well, he's a guy, again, when you look at the second and third quarter of the season, he's really done some good things. The fourth quarter in particular, the play he made for the interception to get his 2 feet down in the end zone was a tremendous play. You know, he's done some good things against some good receivers, and that's very encouraging to see, especially with how he started his season out.
All right, another comment here on the same draft. Pot Roast, obviously a steal, says Carl. Can you find more like that?
We would like to be able to do that, and not just at the defensive tackle position, but at other positions. It's rare for a guy to come in as a rookie and start that many games and make that kind of an impact. So it is our goal to certainly get value for our pick, and we did that in Terrence.
By the way, has Aaron Campman had his ACL surgery?
Yes, he has, and it went very well.
Did he have Andrews do it?
He has a gentleman up in Green Bay that did his first knee. And, again, he's in rehab. He's doing well. And if anybody can come back, it would be Aaron Campman.
The other guy, of course, your third-round pick, Smith from Louisiana Tech, DeAnthony Smith from Louisiana Tech, Achilles that he blew out early in training camp. Can you give us a progress report on him?
I can. I just talked to him on Friday, and he's doing very well. He's way ahead of schedule. He had excellent surgery. The scarring from the surgery, from what I understand, is doing very well because it needs, I guess, scar down in the healing process. And so he's actually going to accelerate some of his rehab in terms of outside running this week. Now, I have not talked to Mike and Luke about what DeAnthony told me on Friday, but what he told me was very encouraging, and certainly what Mike has told me the last time I got an update was very encouraging. So it's a very positive sign.
Talk about wide receiver a little bit. The question that was put to Coach Del Rio this afternoon was, has Jason Hill replaced Mike Sims-Walker as one of your starting wide receivers? I'm assuming that Mike Sims-Walker is still battling the ankle injury he's had, but how would you characterize that competition or that situation?
Well, I think Jason Hill, in the snaps that he's had, he's played well enough to start with the group that we have. Mike Thomas has really been our playmaker. I mean, he stepped up in the game. He was our bright spot on offense yesterday. You know, Mike has struggled through the ankle. And, you know, availability supersedes ability. I mean, you got to be out there performing to help us to win. And if you're unable to do so, then someone else has to step up, and that's what Jason Hill has done.
And to find, you know, sometimes, Vic, we've used the phrase, you know, help's not on the way. The old quote, mm-hmm. you've gone, sometimes help is on the way. I mean, sometimes you can find that guy, Gene, floating around, you know, as a street free agent. If you're, like, you know, just diligence is one thing to make sure to keep an eye on those guys and maintain records on them.
It really is. I mean, it's amazing sometimes when you put a claim in for the player and you're the only team that put a claim in for the player. Or there's one other team that puts a claim in for a player. And I'm talking about a young player, a player that had production at college, a player that had outstanding workout numbers at the combine, a player that did have character, that was a team captain. It certainly starts with talent. But when you start looking at the pluses, there were too many things, like with him, that you know, for me, you say, okay, every move you make is a calculated risk. Well, certainly that one so far has, benefited us well.
Do some teams not believe in the waiver wire? They don't have a philosophy? They don't go there?
You know, I'm not sure why people don't approach the waiver wire like we have the last couple years. There's teams that have hit on some players. The Colts are one team in particular that I'm aware of in our division. I mean, we've been fortunate because since we went to training camp, we've got 10 guys that we've added on our 53 and some guys that are playing some key roles in this football team. And that's just a tribute to the entire scouting staff.
Yeah, I covered a coach, a very good coach, who he didn't want them. He saw them as damaged goods. He saw them as belonging to somebody else, having been spoiled because they were coached by somebody else and taught to do things another way. You know, that was Coach Knowles, mm-hmm. very, very smug, you know,
provincial, if nothing else.
Yeah, right? Clearly, he was his favorite comment was, "You don't build through the waiver wire, from the waiver wire." But that was a different day and age.
Well,
yeah, in those days, you had 17 rounds of the draft, not seven.
Right, and you have 32 teams now, and so what you got to do, I think, is maximize what you have in terms of opportunities to acquire players. So whether it's through the draft, obviously pro free agency, or the street free agent, or acquiring someone through putting a claim in on the waiver wire. There's a lot of different ways to do it throughout the year, and we're going to be aggressive of trying to upgrade our team in any way that we can at any point in time.
All right. Go ahead, Vic.
I was going to skip around here a little bit. I hope you don't mind, but things are flipping through my mind from the press conference this afternoon. Coach Del Rio was clearly upset with the offensive performance on Sunday. You know, he said over and over, we struggled offensively. I don't know if we've covered this or not. Do you have a reason for it? What's going on offense? They just hit a wall? Or is it a matter of no Mike Sims Walker and no Maurice Jones-Drew? And here's another one. How much did losing Evan Britton cost this team?
Well, certainly when you lose a starter, it does impact your football team. We played some good football in spite of losing Evan, because we have one of the better blocking tight ends, or maybe the best blocking tight end in the NFL, if you want to be a little biased, as a Jaguar, in Mercedes Lewis. So I do think the last 2 weeks, if you said, why are we struggling, You know, I didn't get an opportunity to be a part of Jack's press conference, but I would say it all starts up front. You know, I don't think there's a mystery to that.
Yeah, I kind of felt that he shared your opinion on that. And just all of a sudden, the same offensive line that was blowing holes in teams and against the Giants in the first half of that game. And
the Titans, clearly. I mean, that
just snowplowed them all over the field. All of a sudden, it's hit a wall.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, Greg Jones is still blocking well. For the snaps that he's in there, he's clearly, to me, as good a blocking fullback there is in the NFL.
And Zach Miller's blocking better.
He's much improved. The entire tight end group is improved.
All right, we'll take time out here. Back with more comments from the general manager, Gene Smith. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth, continues. If you want to join the conversation, you can via the Facebook page, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And we'll have more when we come back right after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio.
Grossman, third and 10, his own 48.5-yard line. Two backs with him in the shotgun. There's the snap, four-man rush, pressure coming. He's forced to run to the outside. He's being chased by Larry Hart, and he is down. What a sack! Larry Hart got it. And the Jaguars are going to burn a timeout. Stop it with 28 seconds left. What a sack. Larry Hart chased him all over the field.
That's his first full sack in his career.
What a time to get it.
Larry Hart with the big play yesterday. Did go a long way to get that one for sure. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. We welcome you back to a final segment here. You were talking earlier about guys progressing as quarters would go on. Sometimes that's by their play. Sometimes that's by the opportunity. Larry Hart's gotten more and more opportunities as the season's gone on. A guy you drafted out of Central Arkansas, he's certainly starting to show up a little bit more.
He is. Larry's just got to learn to work the edges of the blocker better so that the guys who have average feet, he can stress them more. Now, he does it a lot in practice. It really hasn't transferred to the field until Sunday in terms of getting an actual sack. He's had some pressures, but I know it felt good to him to get the quarterback down.
No, especially a guy who was a sack machine in college.
I was intrigued yesterday by Coach Hazlett, Jim Hazlett. I mean, he put on quite a performance. I'm not saying I'm Jeff Loggeman, because I'm not, but I know what cover two looks like, and I know what cover zero looks like, and I was having trouble with the snap of the ball knowing what coverage the Redskins were in, and most of all, how many guys were coming on the pass rush. I'd see six with their hands down, and the next thing you know, it was a three-man rush. And where's the other three guys? Oh, they're dropping, and the corners are now coming up, and classic zone blitz stuff all over the place, and trapping like you trap on the sidelines in basketball on a full-court press. Did they do more than they usually do? Did they sense that your offense was particularly vulnerable to these kinds of tactics, or is that just Redskins football?
Well, I think that's Jim Hazlett football. You know, he goes back to the Steeler years in terms of that
Dick LeBeau stuff.
The Dick LeBeau stuff, and I thought yesterday you're right on, Vic, with the pressure scheme that they implemented for us. I mean, they have done it throughout the season, but they did an excellent job of creating pressure and disguising some of the things that they were doing.
And here's another thing, Gene. Tell me, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I'm getting a lot of people saying, hey, if they were loading the box against the run, then why didn't they pass? I didn't see loading the box. Did you?
No, they were doing multiple things up front with moving their linebackers around, showing one thing and doing another.
Right.
I mean, there were times that we could handle the numbers count. It's just where they were coming from.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a matter of how many. It was a matter of where. And it looked to me like the Jaguars were struggling with it.
All right, some more comments here from facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. From Kyle, Gene, you've been building the team from the inside out. The defensive line is obviously improved, but still needs work. And if the O-line is healthy, they're obviously improved. In the next draft, you focus more on skill positions.
Well, I think we need to focus more on defense, for sure. I don't think there's any question that that's an area that, that we have to get more plays being made to help this team win. And I think it started at the safety position at the beginning of the year, and I think we're still there. That's an area that, without question, we need more positive play out of.
Has either of those two guys, Courtney Green or Don Carey, established himself? In other words, you can say, this guy has established himself. He is one of our safeties of the future. Has either one of those guys done it?
I think Courtney Green has done some things to give us a good indication that he could do it. Yesterday he had three tempo-setting hits, you know, two in the run game and one to dislodge a ball from the receiver. He's got some presence in the middle of the field, and on those in-breaking routes, people are looking to see where number 36 is at.
All right, Mike has another Facebook entry here, wants to know if there really is a difference between 9-7 and 8-8.
Well, I'd like to think there is. The wins are so difficult to come by in the NFL with the competitive balance that we have. You know, it's my hope that we will do what is necessary to win on the road in Houston this Sunday at 4:15.
Well, wait a minute. There's a huge difference between 9-7 and 8-8. 9-7 might win the division. 8-8 won't. I mean, that's an insane question.
And, well, and if you want to step back.
9-7 dominates the NFC West.
Well, 8-8 might too, by the way, in the NFC West. But if you want to take a step back further than that, Vic, I mean, also,
see,
9-7 means that you finish on a win, and you don't have.
Well, we want to finish on a win. We can't control what you know, Tennessee does to the Colts. We got to take care of our own business, and I'm confident that we'll go on the road and you know, try to put something together to enable us to win the football game more so than what we did the last two weekends.
See, that question kind of bothers me because I sense a college mentality in that question. It's like, you know, well, I mean, seven losses, I mean, that's terrible. Hey, whatever it takes to get into the playoffs, that's great.
And what it will take, again, beating Houston on Sunday, a game that's in flex to 4:15, and have the Colts lose at home to Tennessee. Houston, by the way, comes into the weekend fifth in total offense, sixth with the pass, but their defense dead last against the pass in the NFL this year, 32nd, 29th overall. They've been a team that's been – when they have won, they've won with their offense, right?
They really have. And, you know, they're running the ball very well, and they got a quarterback that can throw it well. So we just got to keep him out of rhythm. But I still believe it starts with stop of the run up front.
And Arian Foster is certainly going to test that, the leading rusher in the National Football League. Gene, thanks a lot. Vic, thank you. Mm-hmm. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton. We'll be back next week to follow up the Jaguars regular season finale. And remember, that Jaguars game against the Houston Texans has been flexed by the NFL. It's now a 4:15 start, 1 o'clock for the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show on Sunday. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, it's the Jack Del Rio show. And then Wednesday at 6, Vic returns with Brian and Jeff Loggeman. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. For Gene, for Vic, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central.